It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Today we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans, and we're going to start with Romans chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only?" Well, remember, we talked last time about circumcision and uncircumcision. Circumcision, spoken of here, is speaking of the Jewish people. The uncircumcision is speaking of the Gentiles. That's those people who are not Jewish. Now here we see that all can have righteousness by faith. And we see how that Abraham was justified before circumcision, and Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness before he was circumcised. Well, let's read those verses now. It says, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision." Well, in other words, his righteousness came before he was circumcised. So a person can't say they did a certain thing in order to be righteous. What the Bible is getting at here is it's all by faith. It's by trusting in someone or something. And of course, we know that the someone to be trusted in here is Jesus Christ. You see, even back then, we know that Abraham was looking for a Savior. Well, let's look now at the word circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of and an indication. It was a seal. In other words, it meant a done deal. It was over with. It was taken care of. This was a visible assurance of the righteousness of Abraham's faith, which faith he had even before he was circumcised. Now, Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, the first part of that verse says, he received the sign of circumcision. Notice it says it was a sign. The sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Thus, we see that Abraham became the father of all who have the same kind of faith, both circumcised and uncircumcised, both Jewish people and anyone else besides the Jewish people. Well, the next part of that verse, verse 11, and reading on in verse 12, it says, "that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." Verse 12 says, "and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only," or of the Jewish people only, in other words, "but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." Let me remind you that Paul was a Jew, and he was saying here, "which he had yet being uncircumcised," to our father Abraham. And he's speaking as a Jew here. But he's letting the Jewish people know that they're not the only ones that can be saved by faith. And he's letting us know, who are not Jewish people, that we also can be saved by faith. It's all of God. It's all of faith. It's all of having faith in God, of trusting God. Now, the promise to Abraham was granted through faith. And we know that as we've been studying this, that it was all by faith. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Well, the promise of God to Abraham to be the heir of the world was given because of his faith. And we've been studying that so far in this chapter. We also see the unconditional Abrahamic covenant here. There were no strings attached to that. God made certain promises to Abraham, and there is nothing that can change that. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, And there builded he an altar. This is Abraham, builded an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. Well, Genesis 13, verse 15 says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Then Genesis 13 and verse 17 says, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Well, then we come over into the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Well, the simple truth is that Abraham believed what God said. He believed, and the Bible says, because he believed, in other words, he had faith in God. Oh, because he believed, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, notice the promise to Abraham was not given through the law. In other words, through the Ten Commandments of doing what God said. In other words, do this and do that. It wasn't given like that. It was not given through the law. Romans chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 says this, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression." You see, the law was given for a purpose, and that was given to us to bring us to a knowledge of God. That's given to the human being. Bring us to the knowledge that we couldn't save ourselves. There's no way that we could measure up. Well, notice this. The promise is given in light of faith, according to grace, to assure that all who are of the same faith as Abraham might be heirs of the promise. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 say, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law," and once again, that's the Jewish people, "but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now, folks, that's faith, of seeing things that's not there, but he knows that it's going to be there, that it is actually true. Well, God said this is going to happen. And if you'll keep reading in the book of Hebrews, you'll see that all these that we would consider great men and women of God, they were promised through faith things that would happen. They all died in faith. They had not received at that point what God had promised. They did not see it at that point, but there will come a day when they're going to see all of the things fulfilled that God promised. And just as God says, "You believe in my Son and you'll never perish. You will live forever." We haven't seen that yet as human beings alive on this earth, but one day Jesus Christ is coming back for us. If we don't go before then, if this body is not decaying in the ground or whatever happens at death to it, if Jesus Christ would come back right now and say, "Come up hither," in the rapture of the church, all of those people who have trusted Jesus as Savior by faith will go to be with the Lord. Whether in the ground or in the air, we're going to meet him. It's by faith through grace. It's all of God. It's nothing we can do to earn salvation. Thank God for that today. Man has always messed everything up, but God never messes anything up. He knows what he's doing. See, Abraham's obedient faith gave glory to God for his promise and his ability to perform, to do all he said he would do. God does that. He does everything he says he will do. Well, notice with me now verses 18 through 22 of Romans chapter 4. "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations." But once again, this is speaking of Abraham. And it goes on to say, "according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, in other words, what God had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed, and this means accounted, to him for righteousness. See, he believed God. He took God at his word. God said he was going to do something, and Abraham believed him. The Bible says it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, the same justification by grace through faith which Abraham had is assured in the Scriptures to all who believe in the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Romans chapter 4, verses 23 through 25 says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone." In other words, it wasn't just the Scriptures, not just written. The promise is not just given for Abraham's sake alone. And it goes on to say in that verse of Romans chapter 4, verse 23, that it was imputed to him, to Abraham, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Have you trusted him today as your Lord and Savior? Have you taken advantage, or have you realized and realized that God has promised you something? Do you know Jesus Christ today as your Savior? If not, may I invite you to do as Abraham did. Believe God. Take God at his word. Let God speak to your heart right now and receive Jesus Christ into your heart. What that means is, Lord Jesus, come in. If you get serious with God, he'll get serious with you. And if you'll pray and ask God to save you, he'll save you for Jesus' sake. Now, you must come faith believing that he is God, that Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected, and that his blood will cleanse you from all sin. It takes away. It does away with the sin. It not only covers the sin, the blood of Christ not only covers, it does away with the sin. And that's the way we go to heaven, because Jesus Christ gave his life for us who believe. Now, the Bible says if you'll trust Jesus to save you, and you say, Lord, I believe that you can save me today. I want to go to heaven one day to be with you. I want to know you as Abraham did, Lord. I want to know you, Lord, and I'm taking you at your word by faith that you will come into my heart and you will change me. You will change this old heart of mine and make it fit for heaven. Save me, Lord. Admit that you're a sinner today. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all means all of us. All of us means everyone in this world has sinned. Now, if you want to be saved today, admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you can't save yourself. Admit that Jesus Christ, by faith, will save you. The Bible says, for by grace you are saved. By grace through faith, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died for you, and he wants you to be saved today. He wants to see you one day in heaven. He wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if you know him as your Savior, you need to be serving him today, and he'll say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.